Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and just commit this time into His hands, and I will do my best to preach fast. Father, thank You for the freedoms that we have, Your grace upon us. For we recognize that first and foremost, there were those men and women of God who loved You, served You, and desired to honor You in the founding of our country. And we were founded on biblical principles, and since that time, there have been men and women who have given their lives to protect those freedoms, to stand on those principles. And we pray that You would watch over us as a country, as a people. And I know that we have fallen far away, and we are in desperate need of revival in our land. But before we point our fingers outside these walls, may revival start here amongst us. And we will thank You and praise You for all that You do, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Answer the question. Are you a fast learner or a slow learner? Is the question that we have to ask ourselves, because I don't know where you are, but I am a slow learner. When it comes to electrical, I can remember just a little guy. I don't know. I might have been in sixth grade, but I was up in the attic with my dad. And we were doing some wiring up there, and you're up in the attic, and you got the flashlight. I was just holding the flashlight at this particular time, and he was wiring these up. And what he shared with me was something that stuck with me forever. He said, "Now, as long as you only touch one wire at a time, you will never get poked." Back then, there was a black wire, and there was a white wire. And so I learned that principle, but sometime after that, some crazy idiot decided to put a bare wire in there too. So now you had a black, a white, and a bare. The principle still stands, I believe. Just touch one of them and you are okay. Before I, in the transition of leaving the pastorate and going to become a missionary with Bancroft, I worked with a contractor for about 3 months as we were trying to raise our support. And one of the jobs that I helped him with was remodeling this house. And one of the things that the owner wanted was the receptacles to be changed out. And my boss told me, he said, "Now, there's nothing labeled down there in the box, so I have no idea what to tell you." And I've learned since that we have tools that will tell you which circuit breaker goes with which receptacle, but I didn't have any of that. And so I said, "No problem, I can do it live." And so I was wiring and switching out receptacles, and I got poked, and then I got poked again, and I'm getting sick and tired of getting poked, and I can't figure out what's going on. I'm such a slow learner. You see, what I was doing when I got poked is I hooked the bare wire on the receptacle first. And once you hook the bare wire onto the receptacle, everything metal on the receptacle is now grounded. I said I was a slow learner. And so when I grabbed that black wire and got poked, I'm saying, "What am I doing here?" And then a couple of weeks ago, I was hooking up a thermostat in our bedroom, 220, and it was live, and I'm being careful, and I got the black wire on, and so, you know, the white wire is not hot, except with 220. I am a slow learner, and sometimes that's true in our Christian life as well. But the faster we learn, the faster we progress in our Christian walk. And some of us have been Christians for a long time. Some of us have been Christians for a short time. And sometimes those who have been Christians for a shorter time seem to be more mature than some of us that have been Christians for a long time. And we ask the question, how is it, why is it that certain individuals grow faster than other individuals? And there's a number of reasons that could play into that. But part of it, and the big part of it is the effort that I give, the time that I give, the time that I give to studying God's word, the time I devote into hiding His word in my heart that I might not sin against Him, my devotion and my discipline in my life. So the faster we learn, the faster we progress in our Christian walk. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me again to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, this particular passage is going to be reminding us and showing us the importance of living in the light. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, Peter wrote two epistles, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And in the second epistle, in the first chapter, he says this. He says, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and you are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as the Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Doesn't he sound like a parent? If I've told you once, I've told you 100 times, but I want you to grasp hold of this. And so Peter is just showing us the importance of grasping these truths. He was a slow learner, was he not? I mean, he was with the Lord and spent time with the Lord, but he would put his foot in his mouth. He would say things that he should not say. He would do things that he should not do. He took his eyes off the Lord and began to sink in the sea. He was a slow learner. And I think as he writes his epistles, he's wanting us not to do some of the things that he did. And so the time of remembering is so important. And that's what today is all about. The time of remembering. It's remembering our country. It's remembering those who have given their lives. But also as we gather together, we remember that there was one who gave his life. That we might really have life. That we might really live. But so often in life and responsibilities and duties and heartaches and pain and loss and all of that, we lose sight and we take things for granted. But the very thought that we are gathered here together, the freedoms in our country, we have a Bible that God has preserved down through the ages and that we can carry them freely to church. We can read them. We can have them on our phones. It's such a privilege. And yet we need to be reminded of what it was, the sacrifices that were made, that you and I might enjoy these things. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to find some conclusions, some contrasts, and then a course of action. And so if you're like me, you know, you're one of these guys, you know, and then all of a sudden, ha-ha, I got it, all right? The light comes on. Well, let's read chapter 2. In verse 1, he says, so put away all malice and all deceit. Let me get rid of that in case you're still watching that. So put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men by the sight of God, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disbelieve the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What a blessing as we read these verses. Things that we need to be reminded of, that the blessings that we have been given to us because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that he made. So in this passage, I see some conclusions. The first one that I find is in verses 1 through 3, where he's reminding us of this greatness. But in verse 3, he says, I better read in chapter 2. In verse 3, the last part of it said, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, verse 2 says, likewise, as newborn infants, long for this pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow. And so Peter's just saying, if you really have come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, if you have tasted his grace, if you have received his forgiveness, if you have really come to know him, then the only natural conclusion is for you to desire to grow and to mature and to honor and to glorify him with your life. That's just one of those conclusions. If you've really tasted salvation, if you really are his child, if you have been set free from your sin and have the hope of eternal life, then it only makes sense that you would live a life of gratitude and thankfulness to a holy God that desired to have a relationship with you. He could have left you right where you were. He could have given you exactly what you deserve. He could have kept you separated from him from all eternity, but he didn't. There was a time in your life when his Holy Spirit reached down and pointed into your heart and revealed to you that you were a sinner, you were lost, you deserve his judgment, but if you would just repent and turn of your sins, you could become his child. And Peter is just saying, if you've tasted that, if you understand that, if you've experienced that grace, then it's only natural. The conclusion is that you desire the Word of God to hide in your heart and to honor him. Peter goes on with another conclusion in verse 7. And in verse 7, he's just sharing with us here the importance. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become a cornerstone. Jesus is precious. Just think about it. His grace is precious. His sacrifice is precious. Everything that he has done for us, the forgiveness, his patience, is precious. Remember that hymn? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather have Jesus or be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's precious. And so Peter is just reminding us that if we have really come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, then the conclusion is that we grow and we mature and we recognize what a precious thing this is. But then he's got some contrast here. And I'd like to just slow just a little bit for here to be able to see these contrasts. The first one that we see is found in verse 4. Jesus Christ is either a cornerstone or a stumbling block, verses 4 through 8. So if you're here this morning and you've not tasted yet that salvation, if you've not come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, you're still separated from the God of forgiveness, the God of grace. He's either going to be a cornerstone in your life, that's a decision that you make, and you realize that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. And you either accept him as precious, he becomes the cornerstone in your life, and then from this point on, you build your life on him for his honor and for his glory, or you will stumble over him. And everyone who has rejected him and who does not believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father but by him, they stumble over him. They stumble over the gift that God has given. They stumble over the forgiveness that's available to them. So there's a contrast. He's either a cornerstone in my life or he's a stumbling block. The second contrast that we find here is in verse 9. And in verse 9, he said, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into marvelous light. We could spend a lot of time on that verse alone.
That verse just reminds us that if God did not intercede, if he would not have worked on our behalf, if he would not have touched our lives, we'd still be in darkness. But he's brought us out of darkness, and he's given us light. And his word is to be a lamp and a light that leads my way, that helps me in my decisions. And so I'm either in the dark or I'm in the light. Christ is either a cornerstone or he's a stumbling block. But then he also says that we were not a people, there in verse 10. He says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Contrast. Paul put it differently in Ephesians. He said, remember that you were, at that time, separated from God, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He told the Colossians, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in the body of flesh by his death in order to present you a holy and blameless above reproach before you. So there was a time in our lives when we did not know God, and maybe that's you here this morning. You're still in darkness. Jesus has always been a stumbling block. And you're not one of his. But if the Holy Spirit is working in your life right now and he's beginning to reveal to you that you are a sinner and that if you continue that way, you will be eternally separated, you can find forgiveness and you become his child. You can come out of darkness into light. And the last contrast we find here in verse 10, the last part of it, once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. If you're here this morning and you have never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can. Because if you die without him, you will find no mercy. But if you respond to him as he pricks your heart and reveals to you the salvation that you need, you will find mercy and forgiveness. So we've got contrast. We've got some conclusions. Now there needs to be a course of action in our lives. So look at verse 1. So put away all malice. What's malice? Well, malice is just that desire inside you to hurt somebody. It can be just words said, but it's just your desire to hurt them. You don't like them, you're jealous of them, and your desire is to hurt them. And oh, that happens in families, in churches. And Peter is just saying, look, if you have come to understand the forgiveness of God, and he doesn't give you what you deserve, then you need to put aside all those feelings and those thoughts and that jealousy that you just desire to hurt somebody. Hurt a church. Hurt a Sunday school teacher. You put it aside. All deceit. God doesn't like actors, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but the idea of deceit here is like it's a kind of a fishing term. It's the bait. It's the hook that you're using just to pull someone aside or astray. Put it aside. Now, hypocrisy is the acting. In order to be able to do all of this, you've got to learn how to act, to be used of the enemy himself. So Peter says, put it away. Put away this stuff. Envy. God has gifted us differently. Your talents are not my talents. Your gifts are not my gifts. What he has given you, he may not have given me, and I may never have what you have. But there should be no envy. We just sang a song that we know that all things work together for good. He does not do the same thing for all of us. And so we should reap or we should weep with those that weep. We should rejoice with those that rejoice. When someone is honored, we ought to be glorifying God that they have the gifts and the talents and the abilities to be able to do what they do. So put aside, Peter says, all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. All that backbiting and whispering, and put it away. Put it away. Verse 5, he says to offer up spiritual sacrifices. He just reminds us that you yourselves, like living stones, are being built upon a spiritual house to be holy, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Paul says, I beseech you, I beg of you, those of you who have experienced salvation, those of you that are no longer slaves to sin, I beseech you, bring your bodies a living sacrifice to God. It's just that brokenness and that thankfulness to where we cry out to him and say, God, I just can't believe that you would care for me, save me, deliver me, give me hope. But since you have, here I am, use me. Verse 11. I know it's a little bit further than we read, and we'll pick up on this next week, but he said, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which war against your soul. This is not our country. This is not where we belong. And so we live as though we are strangers to this world, and we live to bring honor and glory to God. Again, this is what Paul was just sharing with us, the importance of bringing our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him. We're supposed to live in light. And the faster we learn, the faster we progress in our Christian walk. You realize that the freedoms that we have today, not only the freedoms in our country, but the freedoms of religion. There have been individuals who have given their lives to protect this Bible. There have been those who have given their lives to put it in your language. There were those who gave their lives because they believed that every plowboy should be able to read what God requires of him. There have been those who have given their lives that we might enjoy the freedoms of Christian living. There's a generation that's going to follow us. There's a generation that's going to follow us, our children and our grandchildren. And if we want them to have the freedoms that we have, then we better live by the light. Live by the word. And the faster we learn, the faster we progress. And we can protect that privilege that they too may enjoy as we have. Let's pray. All heads bowed and all eyes closed. No one looking around. I'm just going to take a moment and say that if you're here this morning and you've not yet tasted this precious Christ, you've not tasted his forgiveness and his grace, and you recognize that you are separated from him, but you desire his mercy, you desire his forgiveness, then right where you are, talk to him. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Tell him that you recognize that you are a sinner, that you have failed him. But tell him that you realize that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary for you, and you want to be forgiven by him, and that he alone is able to save you. And if you talk to him and you share with him and you commit your life to him and you receive the forgiveness that only he can give, you become his child. Christ is no longer a stumbling block, but a chief cornerstone for you to build your life on. If you're here this morning and you're not sure of your salvation, you're not sure of that relationship with him, if you'd raise your hand up and write back down that I might remember you in prayer, would you do that for me? Is there anyone? Anyone at all? Father, I come before you. I would ask that you would work within our lives, each of us. I will assume that everyone here has tasted the preciousness of our Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that he gives. But if we have, There are some changes that need to take place in our lives. There needs to be a course of action that we take that we may live and honor and glorify you. And I would ask that you would work in our midst. As a body of believers, help us to set aside all these things that hinder, that bring confusion and hurt, that divide. And may we become a body of believers that are connected together with a love and a commitment to bring honor and glory to you. And we would pray for your hand upon us and protection upon us against the evil one, that we may bring you the honor and the glory that you deserve. And Father, if there be anyone here that would like to talk with me afterwards, or to talk to someone here afterwards, that they would not hesitate to come to me or to someone else here that would be willing to share with them your word and the hope that we can find in Christ. And we'll praise you for what you accomplish in all of that. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.